The wonderful name of Jesus.
What a name. The only name given amongst men whereby we can be saved. And we trust that what he has put in our mouth today and how he amplifies that to you and makes it applicable to you will be a lifesaver. We believe that. We receive that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right, Genesis 45. As is our custom, we'll bring you a lesson on biblical finances. More than finances, biblical prosperity. Last week we talked about how that God has issued an invitation. Come! Come over and dwell in Goshen. The land of blessing. The land without a curse. A land that Joseph prepared for his family, which is a chip off of the block of God preparing the garden for Adam and Eve, right? You remember, Adam and Eve was the last act of creation when everything else was ready. My goodness. Hallelujah. But of course, I've said it before, I'll say it again, the reason for the universe is the earth. Which is why they haven't found another planet like this, and I don't think they will. Well, I take that back. There's another one like it. It's called heaven. This was supposed to be like that one. That's why Jesus said, pray. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a copy of that. It doesn't look like it was supposed to be. It looks like a really... You know how you make a copy, and if you keep making the copy of the copy of the copy of the copy, you get the way it doesn't look like it, like an original copy at all. That's what we have, unfortunately. So, the reason for the universe is the earth. The reason for the earth. That's what the Garden of Eden. The reason for the garden was of man. Capital M, man, which means applies to both genders. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So God prepared and so on and so forth. And then he put the apple of his eye, Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. And so then that land still exists, the land of Goshen. It's a type of heaven, type of a Garden of Eden, a land where there's no curse. Hallelujah. Where the inhabitants thereof are not subject to the curse. We have the concept of exempt status from the IRS. Woo, Goshen is exempt from the curse. Jesus lived in the land of Goshen all of his life on this earth. He did. He did. And we can too. That's the invitation. We told you Goshen was fenced up. The curse knew it. Knew not to trespass. The devil knew it too. And if you're a believer, your life has been fenced up. If you only knew it. Hallelujah. Job's life was fenced up. But over, he opened the gate to the devil by allowing fear in his life. I really believe the conversation we had, we read about in Job chapter 1 happened, and then the devil went up trying to pressure Job to give him to open the gate for him, and fear rose up in his life, and that was the avenue where the devil was able to get in. But at the end of it though, glory. At the end of it, and most all Bible scholars believe that thing took only 9 months. Now, it was a lot to go through 9 months, but still. He got double everything the devil saw. Amen. Alright, so let's say more about that. Let me give you, I like God's invitations, don't you? Come and dwell in the land of God. So let me give you a few invitations here. For the sake of time, we're not going to go to them unless the Lord says so. But so are you saying so, Lord? Okay, he said to go to the first one. Okay, Isaiah. Ooh, glory. Somebody says, you talk to God? Oh, you mean you don't? I wonder who you've been talking to then. If you don't talk to God, you've been talking to the wrong fellow. Ooh, glory. And he has been trying to talk to you. Amen. Remember when you said, something told me I shouldn't have done that? Well, that was God. Amen. Okay, Isaiah 1, God's invitation. Look at verse number 18. Come now, now, don't wait. And let us reason together. Now, reasoning all by yourself is one thing. Like the rich fool, remember the rich fool? I've got all these crops. Let me see what I am going to do. Reasoning by yourself is something else. But reasoning with God, you're going to do it. You're going to be doing it by his word. Come now. Let us reason together, say the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, red, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, to live in the land of Goshen. You remember I used to say that a lot. I said that. Well, I'm going to drive the best, wear the best, live in the best. And I'm doing some of it right now. Glory to God. Not nearly enough, but I'm on my way. Amen. Drive the best, live in the best, eat the best, be the best for the Lord. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. What land? The land of Goshen. Hallelujah. But if you refuse and stay out there in the land of the curse, then guess what you're going to get? The curse. Amen. It's one of God's invitations. Come over to Goshen. Here's another one. Isaiah 55, 1, 2, 3. Ho! In other words, hey! Everyone that is thirsty, come! Isaiah 53 verses 1 through 3. Come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come you anyway. Come and buy. How do you buy without money? You begin with faith. Huh? You don't begin with money because you ain't got enough. Woo, glory, glory. But you do have enough faith because the faith of God has been deposited in your heart. If you don't use it, if I don't use it, it's not his fault, it's my fault. Amen. You have and I have all the faith necessary to accomplish whatever it is as far as receiving from God. So it says, come with that money. How? Because the faith will bring the money. Come, say this again. Come and buy. Buy wine, buy milk without money, without price. Ooh, I like that part. Without price. Did you notice that? Doesn't matter how much it costs. I've told you before, tell you again. And I found myself the more last time not doing what I told you. Oh, doing what I told you not to do. See an item, the first, what do? When we see an item we like? We don't even look it up. We're like, who is the price tag? What is the price tag? And then once we see we're like, oh. It says without price. Which means it doesn't matter how much it costs. I am El Shaddai. Glory to God. Man, I'm, thank you all. Because see, you have enough faith to take the item home. Maybe not right then, but you know. But the way you approach it is, I like it. And if I like it, if it is not ungodly, not illegal, not unethical, and you like it, God wants you to have it. Why not? Why not? Can you tell me why not? But my part is not be so intimidated by the pride that I draw back. See, we literally draw back from, we see and say, oh, what can God do about that? Reminds me of the day when our grandson was a kid. I mean, just, well, he's still a kid now, but, you know, about 4 or 5 years old. So he's going to school. They have uniforms and shoes and all that. So we were in the mall trying to buy him some stuff. And I see this pair of shoes. I'm like, whoo! He didn't want it. he didn't want it. I'm trying to talk him into it. I thought, boy, I wish I could become five again so I could buy it for myself. He didn't want it. And that's what God is. That's what He is. We say we want it, but we don't want it. Huh? Don't look at the price tag. Do not. Look at your faith. What did He say? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, mountain. Did you hear that? A mountain. If faith can move a mountain, and He was looking at a literal mountain when He said that, how much more? A few dollars. Okay. Come back with that price. Yeah. Okay. Ooh, glory. Talk about God's invitations. Come. See, that's Goshen thinking. Goshen thinking. We're not telling you to go do anything yet. We're telling you to think like that. As a man thinketh in his heart. Okay? So you start thinking like a Goshenite, and you will meditate on it, and then it'll drop into your heart. Once it drops in your heart, your container will be enlarged. Therefore, God can put into it what He wants you to have. That's how it works. So, think. It drops in your heart. Your container gets bigger, and God is able to put it in it. God is waiting with it. Woo, glory! He's waiting with it. No, it won't fit yet. Goodness. Are you getting this? He's waiting with it, but it won't fit yet. So he's waiting. No, it won't fit. The container is not big enough. It won't fit yet. That's what happened when you saw that tag, right? That tag, and you went, that meant the container wasn't big enough. You couldn't contain it. My goodness. Somebody drive by a neighborhood and say, whoo, look at that house. That just too rich for my blood. See that what they know? Know what I'm saying? My container is not big enough to contain that. But what if it were big enough? Hallelujah. And how do you get it big enough? You start thinking, meditating about who you are, what all He died for you to have, and meditate on it. Meditate on it until it drops into your heart. That's what enlarges your container. And then you're able to then take it in. Now, that process of thinking doesn't stop, because there's much more. There's much more He wants to put in that container. Ooh, I hope I'm helping you. I'm teaching me happy. What do you think He meant when He said, He is a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all? Talk about the container. Talk about your container. Hallelujah. Goshen thinking. I didn't even plan to go this way, but yeah. It's all good. I am going to flow.
Amen.
the container. Come, buy with that money. Forget the money part. Do the faith part. Huh? Do the revelation part. Get it in you. When it gets in you, it will automatically enlarge your container. Jesus said, according to what meat you measure, according to what measure you use, that's how it's going to be measured to you because of the container. Thank you, Lord. I hear BW saying, Bill Winston, you will never get there if you can't see yourself there. Huh? That's the container. Talk about a container. Seeing. Okay. We're used to believing is seeing. But did you know seeing is also believing? Seeing. Huh? Seeing in this book is believing. Where your container is lodged. Buying without money. Not being intimidated by the price tag. Would you be intimidated by that price tag if Elon Musk were your uncle or your daddy? Would you be intimidated? Come and dwell in Goshen. Come, buy. Goshenites buy without money. They buy with their faith. And the faith goes out there and does what's necessary to bring the item home. Amen. Well, here's another invitation. Come. It's Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, Jesus says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can't get rest anywhere but the land of Goshen. There's no rest anyplace else. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God's invitation. Goshen is a place called there. Look at 1 Kings. Goshen is a place called there. Remember now, this is the place Joseph prepared for his family. A place God has prepared for you as a believer. If only you would agree to dwell in it. 1 Kings 17, you know this account of there's sin in the land, and God has declared judgment by his prophet Elijah, but we have a famine. And so then, of course, God is obligated to take care of his prophet. Again, the word care is only used appropriately when it refers to God. You're not supposed to take care. You are supposed to cast your care on the Lord. So he's taking care of his prophet. Sends him. Tells him in verse 4, 1 Kings 17. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Not someplace else. If you go someplace else, you are on your own. And you would be out of Goshen and subject to the curse. You would be like everybody else. This famine would affect you like everybody else. But if you stay put, if you go to Goshen, there's a fence around Goshen. Famine cannot come over there. My goodness. Ooh, if I knew it'd be this good, I'd come to church myself. And then in the course of time, because his family, naturally the water dries, and he sends him to another location. OK? Okay? So that lets us know, just because it sent you to one spot, doesn't mean you're supposed to be there forever. There may come another, some more instructions for there. And so he sends him to the widow woman. You know about that. Verse 9. Arise thee, the Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Not someplace else. Not someplace else. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Not someplace else. She didn't even know it until he got there. And him getting there was part of her deliverance. When she did what she was supposed to do. There is deliverance in the land of Goshen. Goshen is a land of there. It's a place called there. Goshen is a land where the American dream is as alive as ever. I hear too much about, American dream. Don't tell one of us immigrants. Huh? You American born folks may not know it, but we know. Glory. Don't tell me about it. American dream is dead. It's a nightmare. Yeah, for you it might be. What do you think all these folks are trying to come here like they are? American dream is dead. Yeah, right.
Amen.
As someone who is in Goshen don't even know it. Ooh, Jesus. Especially if you're born again, come on. Here's something else I hear. You know, a whole lot. You know, people in their 20s can't afford to buy a house anymore. Oh, Lord Jesus. Really? What happened to Jesus? Especially if you're born again. See that? We're being impressed by the price tag again, are we not? Huh? That container is too small again, is it not? Hallelujah. That's all it is. The container is too small. It's too small. We're being intimidated by the price tag. Talk about, you know, if you're 20 these days, you can't afford a house. Yeah, well, that's a lie of the devil. Unless you believe it, then of course you can't. You can't get there if you can't see yourself there. Goshen thinking. Goshen thinking. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Goshen is a place where there's a table that's prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23 verse 5 says exactly that. Goshen is a land that flows with milk and honey. Huh? That's what he told them he was taking them to. In Egypt, they barely had enough to eat. They were slaves. In the wilderness, a little more than that, but not enough. But he told them, I'm taking you to Goshen. I'm taking you to a land that flows with milk and honey.
Amen.
Flows with it. You know, it doesn't matter how many billions of people get to live on this earth until Jesus returns. This earth isn't going to run out of anything. Anything. Again, remember now, that revelation of the Womack. Woo! Everything that's above the earth came from the earth. Everything. Including the cell phone, the computer. It came from the earth. Hallelujah. All of the elements that it takes to build an airplane came from the earth. All of it. Didn't come from Mars. I mean, some time ago, some rock was supposedly fell from Mars. It didn't come from that. It came from the earth. God has already stocked this earth full of everything all of us would ever want. Ain't no shortage. It's a shortage of faith. Jesus said, when I come back, am I going to find enough faith on this earth? That's what there's shortage of. faith. Hallelujah. You know, nowadays they talk about rare earth. I'm sure you've heard that. Rare earth, that you have to do a computer and do AI, all that. Rare earth? I tell you what, there's nothing rare about it. It's hardly rare because we don't know where it's all at. It's plenty in here. We just don't know where it's at. Rare to us, not to him. Mm-hmm. Ah, goodness. Thank you, Lord. Goshen. Thinking like a Goshenite. Ah. Not being subject to everything you hear. Believing it. Instead of believing this book. Huh? Give it more attention than what you hear out here. Because folks out here, many of them, maybe most of them, are doing the best they can. Don't know enough. Here is the complete info. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everything that's above the earth came from within it. And there's plenty in there we've never heard of. Plenty we've never heard of. Still to be discovered. It's kind of like saying, I mean, we have explored the earth some. Space some. The other someone saying, well, what about the oceans? Well, you know what all is down there? No idea. Don't know what all is down there. So this talk about shortage of this and shortage of that and this and the other, it's nothing but curse talk. That's all that is. As believers, we have to think like Goshenites. Goshen is a land where El Shaddai is God, the milky one. He's got more milk than you could ever want to drink. Woo! You can drink it so much you'll fall asleep. My goodness, the land of Goshen. Goshen is a land where Jehovah Jireh is king. The God that looks way ahead of your life and makes provision for every stage of it. Huh? Here you are, an infant. Huh? Provision for that. A toddler. Well, you know, you remember, do you not? He sent three Arab sheikhs to come bring stuff for Jesus. Remember that? There was provision there. Provision for when you're a toddler. Provision for when you're an adolescent. Provision when you're a preteen, a teen, young adult, retire, senior citizen. Provision for every stage of life. There's no lack, except lack of faith. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. The lack of looking up to Him. Amen. Thank you, Father. God wants to make a difference. He wants to sever. He wants to show through us who name the name of Jesus, His character, who He's like. But we have to enlarge that container. Because so far He hadn't been able to get much through it, much into it. Good Exodus. Thank you, Lord. Exodus chapter 8. When He came to deliver His people, He showed Pharaoh who Pharaoh was dealing with. Exodus chapter 8, look at verse 22. And I will sever, or I will separate, or set apart, or spare in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, if they dwell there, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. That's what God wants to do. If we just enlarge our containers. Look at Exodus chapter 9. We'll come back to this later, but let's read it again. Verse number 26. Exodus 9:26. Only in the land of Goshen were the children of Israel there. Where the children of Judah were, was there no mental illness. You can put anything you want in there. Was there no lack of jobs? You can put anything you want there for no hail. That's his plan. Amen. If we'll only enlarge our containers and think like Goshenites. Thank you, Lord. Look at chapter 10. God wants to show. Now, and part of the plan is to attract those who are not in the covenant to get in. Come on. Remember now, this is an invitation. Come on. You can participate. This is not an exclusive club. It's inclusive. But you got to come through the narrow path of Jesus. You can come anywhere you want. But you can come. Come on. There's a bridge. Hallelujah. Chapter 10, look at verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Can you imagine that feeling? Have you ever felt darkness? Huh? You ever felt it? This one, my God, this one could be felt. You could feel it on your skin. You talk about dark. You never experience this kind of dark. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from the place, because where are you going to go if you can't see where you're going? You just stay put. But all the children of Israel have light in their dwellings. My goodness. Why? Because they were in the land of Goshen. Darkness so thick you could feel it. And you dared not move because you didn't know what was. Woo! But the children of Israel, the children of God, had light. That's his plan. That's his plan. If we just enlarge our containers. So, how do you become a Goshenite? I'm glad you asked. Thank you, Father. First of all, look back at Exodus 9. I told you we're going to come back there. Exodus 9. Let's start from verse number 18. Exodus 9:18. How do you become a Goshenite? Ooh, good question. Good question. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt, since the foundation thereof, even unto now. Send therefore, now, here's the word. The word's about to go out. Who's going to hear it, believe it, and act on it? That's how you become a Goshenite. Hear the word of the Lord, believe it, and act on it. So it says, send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. It says everybody who doesn't follow this instruction is going to have to deal with the curse of the hail. So here's what happened. He that feared the word of the Lord, what does that mean? Revered the word of the Lord. Heard it, thought, oh yeah, we better do that. Huh? Received it, acted on it. he that feared the word of the law among the servants of Pharaoh, even among the servants of Pharaoh. This was anybody. It is an inclusive invitation. Anybody can accept it and come to Goshen. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever. It is still a whosoever invitation. Everybody, even among the servants of Pharaoh. So this is not just for the Jews. The word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord and left his servants and his cattle in the field. What happened to them? The Lord said, Moses, stretch forth your hand. And the hail came on all those who didn't receive God's word and act on it. That's how you become a Goshenite. Receive his word and act on it. Receive his word and act on it. Make sure you're a Goshenite. Okay, book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. Here's a New Testament group of people in the city of Berea. That's why we call our church Berea Goshen Church. Where people who have decided we are going to pay attention to God's word, we are going to believe it, and we are going to act on it so that we live in the land of Goshen. The book of Acts chapter 17, New Testament. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we won't take the time to go there, but if you look at, if you start from verse 1, chapter 17, you'll find that what Paul had to say was not received in Thessalonica. That's the city that didn't receive what he had to say. Okay, and then you flip over. Yeah, please read that. We get to verse 10, and it says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas." Why did they send them away? Because those folks here were hostile. Didn't want to hear what he had to say. They sent him away by night unto Berea. Is he going to get better reception here? Oh yeah, he did. They sent him to the city of Berea, who come in there. Went into the synagogue of the Jews, just like he had done in Thessalonica. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to make sure that what they had heard was so, whether those things were so. Therefore, they believed it, received it, and acted on it. And so many of them believed, also of the honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. That's how you become a citizen of Goshen. You receive God's word, you believe it, you act on it. That's why we call ourselves Berea Goshen. When the Lord gave me that name, church was called Faith Victory. That was a pretty good church. pretty good name. Faith Victory Church. And I thought, Lord, Berea Goshen, I'm going to have to explain this. But what am I going to say? No. But that's it. So, to be a citizen of the of Goshen, you have to first be a Berean. Amen. You have to first be a Berean. Someone who will give attention to God's word, receive it, study it, be convinced of it, get to a point where it's not the pastor said or the bishop said, but God said. Hallelujah. When you get to that point, it's where that thing drops in your heart. Remember what my illustration I gave you before? Think. When it drops in your heart, that's when it becomes, thus saith the Lord. The thinking you are doing, you're thinking about what you read, what so-and-so taught, what pastor said, what bishop said. You're thinking about it. But when it becomes a word from God for you, that's when it drops in your heart. And it automatically enlarges your container, and God is able to put more into it than he has been able to do so far. So, to be a Goshenite, you have to be first. You have to first become a Berean. Amen?
Amen.
Ooh, glory. There's an invitation. I have answered the invitation. I don't know about you. To live outside of the curse. To live in the land of Goshen. To live within the confines of the fence. The fence of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now, Mama, I don't know what happened. Two nights ago, I was asleep. You know, I don't know if I was dreaming or what. But I remember hearing something about death comes. And I remember waking up and saying, yeah, at 120. I thought about this earlier. See, that's when it's in you. When you've meditated on it, you've meditated on it, you're like, if Christ can live to be 120, why can't I? Because you've meditated, it's become real to you. Mm. You're not dependent, again, you're not dependent on yourself, you're dependent on the blood.
Yeah.
The blood. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. It has been shed! Hallelujah. That's the fence, the bloodline. Glory to God. That is the fence.
Mm.
The blood of Jesus is the fence. Over your health, your mind, your peace, your money. Yeah, your my. Okay. I've said enough about that. Glory be to Jesus. Okay, so that's your lesson about prosperity. Woo, glory. So, about to change gears here, and stay tuned. We'll bring you another word, another subject in a minute. Glory to God. We'll talk about subject matter, the devil, demonology, the devil and demons. And we talked about it at some length. And if you're joining us for the first time, we have videos on this subject matter. A subject matter that hasn't been talked about much, and yet it was one of the commands of Jesus. They that believe on me shall cast out devils. We have been assigned and deputized to alleviate human suffering caused by the devil and demons. Sicknesses, illnesses, in some cases, and when I'm saying all illnesses are due to demonic oppression, a bunch of it all, the Bible makes it quite plain. Well, let's start there. Why not? Look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. In the ministry of Jesus, and those demons who were here when Jesus was here are still around. You know, there's coming a demon they will be dealt with, but they're still around. And in the day, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, how God anointed, empowered, enabled Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What did he do with that power? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. That clearly indicates that some conditions of illnesses and sicknesses are caused by the devil. There's no other way to read that. Not all, but some. He went about healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. This is God's mission. And Jesus, consequently, let's go and look at that as well. Because sometimes we'll get deep into a series and we'll forget the fundamentals of the series. So look at Mark chapter 16. He told them that... verse number 16, Mark chapter 15. Let's start from 15. This is the charge to the disciples, and that's the charge to us believers today. Go ye into all the world, which means your world, because you certainly can't go to every part of the planet, but you have a, we have a sphere of influence. Go in that sphere of influence and preach the gospel to every creature in it. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not, unfortunately, shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. So Jesus didn't get it all done. He commissioned us with the same commission that the Father commissioned him. There's a reason why the Father anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. So he could go by doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. He turns around and gives us the same command, the commission. Well, we've got to be informed about it then, if we're going to get it done. So, hence he has commissioned me to teach on this subject matter. So let's talk about the nature of demonic power. The nature of demonic power. The devil and demons have no power of their own. Zero. Zero. They have no power of their own. Think about it now. If you were God, the Father, and you just kicked him out of heaven, would you say, oh yeah, here, but take some power with you? Oh, you wouldn't do that. Especially knowing that you have a plan for your family, you know, and that he's going to try to mess him up. You don't give him any power. Amen. The devil and demons have no power of their own. What power they exercise was stolen from man. Capital M. Again, meaning both genders. Stolen from man, Adam and Eve. God, who had all power in heaven and earth, gave man all earth power. Huh? Amen. This is partly why we're able to explore even, you know, space and so on. It's a feature, a manifestation of the power God gave man over this earth. Now, it's not working near as well as it would, because for the most part, these folks don't care much about God. They think science and God are exclusive. No. God created, science explains why God created. It worked together. And I tell you, you get scientists thinking like that, there's no telling what breakthroughs we could have. And so all earth power was given to man. How do we know that? Well, look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Verse number 26 makes it quite plain. All earth power was given to man. God is a great delegator. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. And don't you try to get him to do what he has told you to do. It won't work. He'll never do it. And then I don't know. There are countless Christians trying to get God to do what he has told them to do. And in their prayer, people pray, oh Lord, let this happen, and let that happen, and let... I mean, you're telling God to let things happen when he's told you to declare and to say. Amen. He's a great delegator. God is a great delegator. When he delegates things to you, don't try to give it back to him. He won't take it. Because the reason why he delegated it to you is because that's the way it's supposed to be done. Hallelujah. God saved so-and-so. He already done it. He's already done it. He's already done all he could do on his part. Maybe you are supposed to go over there and share the gospel with them. How about that? God saved so-and-so. He'll go with you and give you words to say, but he isn't going to save for himself. Angels don't preach the gospel. Humans do. Okay. So he's a great delegator, and he has a huge delegation of duties and authority and power. All earth power, all of it, all earth power was delegated to man. Verse 26, and God said, let us, plural, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, let us make man, capital M, that should have been capitalized. Let us make man in our image. But it wasn't only about looks. Huh? We see image, we think mirror, we think look like. But that's just the superficial part. He said, let's make man like us. Not just look like us, but have power like us. Huh? Let's delegate some of our power to him, to them. Not just looks, not just mirror looks. Let us make man in our image. That's why he went ahead and tried to expand on it. After our likeness. You would think if we say image, and our image is enough. Why is it saying after our likeness? Because it goes way beyond looks. It goes to nature. God has the ability and the right to declare something and have it happen. Well, guess what? So do you. Huh? That power and ability came from him. That's why Jesus said, whosoever shall say, just like God can say it, have it happen, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have. Just like God said it and had it, he shall also have it. If he believes like God did. This wasn't just about looks. Let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Huh? What does that mean? To dominate. You can't dominate without power, that authority. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, that means the animals, over all of the earth. How much is left out of all? Do you suppose that includes the atmosphere? Includes waves? That's why the man, Christ Jesus, when he was in a boat and the boat was trying to sink, he got up and said, peace be still. He didn't do that because he was God. He was God. He's never not been God. He never ceased to be God. But he said it as a man with this authority. That's why he chastised them. Why did you not do what I just did? Why did you bother to wake me up for? I was taking a nap. I delegated that to you. See that? See how we tried to keep him back what he told us to do? He told them, let's go to the other side. Which means, all that's going to take for you to get over there, I have entrusted it to you. When I give you the command, all the ability, the power necessary to carry out the command, it's in it. I delegated to you the ability to get to the other side. You should not have woken me up. You should have handled this just like he's a delegator. And Jesus was using the same power. We'll talk about him. He didn't do it as Jesus, Son of God. He did it as Jesus, Son of Man. Anointed by the Holy Ghost. Make my name have dominion over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them. What does it mean? To bless is to empower. To excel. He blessed them. He empowered them to do what he just spoke. He empowered them and God said unto them, be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. What does that mean? How are you going to subdue something if you ain't got the power to do so? Mm-hmm. Try subduing a ball in the swimming pool. You gotta apply the pressure, keep the pressure on. Huh? So take your hands up, whoop, here comes. Subdue means you got the energy to keep that thing where it's supposed to be. He empowered man to do that. All earth power was given to man. Not the devil. And replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish. It goes over everything that moves, no doubt. So, God of heaven and earth, delegated earth power to man, not to the devil. He kicked the devil out in ignominy. Huh? He was relieved of his functions without compensation. He was dishonorably discharged from his service. Amen. But, you know, as you know, he came to the garden once man was created. Here's something else to know. Okay, so remember now that God created man after he created everything else. The reason for that is man was supposed to manage everything else for him. Huh? Oh yeah. Later he told them to tend the trees, all that. It wasn't just a tree. He was supposed to manage everything. When he's talking about subdue and all that, keep everything in shape. Keep things the way they ought to be. You're the man. And he gave him the necessary authority to do so. But here comes the devil into the garden. And connived and lied, manipulated, and got them to obey him. And once they obeyed him, they gave him power as well. They transferred their power to him. That's where that power comes from. How do we know that? Book of Luke chapter 4. Just explain. Just explain. Luke chapter 4. The temptations. Look at verse 3. And the devil said unto Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. Jesus said, it is written. Huh? That's a Goshenite, is it not? Amen. It's going by the book. Goshenite. And then, verse 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this what? Aha! All this power? All this power will I give to you. Where did you get it from, devil? You were dishonorably discharged. You were kicked out without any benefits. Where did you get all this power? He says, all this power will I give you. And the glory of them, for that is delivered, and it's been delivered to me. I have it, and to whomsoever I will, I can give it. Where did you get it? Notice Jesus didn't say, shut up, you lying devil. Huh? Jesus didn't dispute that the devil had the power. My. So, if you want the power I have, Jesus, you worship me and I'll give it to you. Where did he get it? He got it from Adam and Eve. So said, how do we know that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at the book of Romans.
If we're going to be Bereans, we have to know what the book says. Because if we don't know what it says, how can we believe it, huh? That's how we teach it. Book of Romans chapter 6. Here's a biblical principle. Now, you have to remember this now. This book, God had the Bible written to reveal to us the way things are. Okay? Don't think that things are because the Bible said. No, no, no. The Bible was written to codify to us the way things are. In other words, it was a law, a spiritual law, that whosoever shall say on this mountain, so on and so forth. And so then God had it written, Jesus spoke it, so we would know. It didn't come into place when he said it. It was already that way. You got to remember that. So here's the principle. Verse 16, Romans 6:16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey. Okay? Let's talk about power. If you're a servant, the person you obey has power over you. It says, the person you yield yourself therefore servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death, obedience unto good or bad, when you yield yourself to someone and become their servant, you give them power over you. That's what it's saying. Okay? So by this principle, we know that that was what happened. That transaction in the garden. Why do you think the devil took time to invest in cunning and said, who, why was it bought? He knew exactly what he was doing. They should have known better. Adam should have told the serpent, get out of here, you. But when they obeyed the devil, they handed over their power to him. And he then, I believe it's 1 John. He then, the Bible says, he became the God of this world. Really? He was dishonorably discharged. How did he become the God of this world? Because the person who was the God of this world handed over the keys to him. Well, you know the scripture. You can find that. Let me see. I think it's 1 John chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. The God of this world, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of. Look at 2 chapter 4. In whom, if the gospel hid, in whom the God of this world. How did he become that? Who made him that? Adam did, literally. Adam did. And Jesus called the prince of this world. There are several titles like that. And how did he get all that? He didn't get that from God the Father. He got it from Adam. The devil and demons have no power of their own. What power they exercise was stolen from man. God, who had all power in heaven and earth, give man all earth power. The devil came in there and connived and lied and stole, got them to do what he wanted, knowing full well what would happen. And he became the God of this world. Man handed it over to Satan when they obeyed him. Okay? Now, such stolen power as the devil and demons have, can only be exercised in the same context that it was stolen. In other words, the devil was able to do what he did because they cooperated with him. So likewise, the potential victim of the devil today must cooperate much like man did in order for the devil to have any effect. So even though he had the power, it still won't work unless you cooperate with him like Adam and Eve cooperated with him. Amen. If man does not cooperate today, Satan's power is completely useless and ineffective. This is why folks can get born again at all. If the devil had the power to literally stop that, he would, but he can't. When you make up your mind, you want to become a Christian, get born again, there's nothing he can do about it. Hallelujah. Now, if that were not the case, if he had power to the point where he could just run roughshod over you, the Bible wouldn't say in Revelation 12:19. Look at Revelation 12:19. The Bible wouldn't say that he is a deceiver. Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon, Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth. You know, if you have power to do something, you don't have to deceive anybody, right? You just issue the command. A king or the president doesn't have to deceive anybody where he or she has power. You just say, go do this. When you try to deceive, it's because you can't outrightly say what you want and have it happen. Right? So then you have to try to connive and lie and try to get it. No. So finally he has to deceive. I mean, he has to have the cooperation of people. It wouldn't work. If he could just run over you, the Bible wouldn't say in 1 Peter chapter 5, go over there. He wouldn't say over in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't have the power to just devour you, whether you like it or not. He's got to get your cooperation. Just like he had the cooperation of Adam and Eve. If you refuse to give him that cooperation, he cannot devour you. And lastly, look at John chapter 8. Look at what Jesus called him. John chapter 8, verse number 44. John chapter 8, verse number 44. Jesus called him a liar. Again, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, we understand you have to read scripture, and not from the very, very, very beginning. He was created perfect until iniquity was found in him, and abode not in the truth. He didn't stay in the truth because there is no truth in him. Because of that, there's no truth in him now. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Again, if you have power, you don't have to lie. You don't have to lie if you have power. Oh yeah, you just say it. You know? Deception, cunning, all of that is what you do when you can't get things to happen the way you happen, the way you want outrightly. You gotta manipulate and all that. Manipulators don't have power. That's why they try to manipulate. If they had the power or authority, they would issue the command. The fact the devil has to connive and lying and all that is because he still has to have your cooperation. So, take it from me. How about this big piece of advice? Don't cooperate with him. Tell him, no, not going to do that. Amen. And I close with this. This is serious, very serious. simple deliverance. If you do it, you should be a Berean and do it. If you're hearing voices, sir, ma'am, in your head, telling you to do things, talk back to it. Rebel against it. That's the devil. That's a demon trying to get you to hurt yourself. Cutting yourself, all that, and maybe you'll just kill yourself. Yeah? Your life is worthless. And see, God will never, ever, ever talk to you like that. He will tell you you're valuable. I love you. Let me help you. So you can rebel. You can rebel against those voices. And I tell you to hurt yourself. You can say no. And he might be, it's time to shock the devil. It's time to shock that demon that's been bugging you all day long, every year, for the last I don't know how long. Tell it no! And he'll leave you alone. He has to. Because you're the person with power. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you. We praise you for the deliverance of this person, persons who just heard me say that. Because they will surely find it to be true. They don't want, they don't have to do what those voices have been telling them. In fact, they can receive Jesus as the Lord of their lives and shut that voice out, press a mute button. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, say this with me. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for dying on Calvary's cross for me. I receive my prayer language. I receive direction to join a local church where I can be taught to be a Berean. And then leave the land of Goshen. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Well, we trust that you were blessed by this teaching. And then we invite you to come worship with us if you live around here. If not, keep watching because we're going to be back same time next week. Until then. Be a Berean and live in the land of Goshen. Amen.